He'll give us. I heard a preacher the other night, he was preaching, I was listening to a sermon. He said he was asking the Lord, he really wanted to know something. And if you really want to know, you can ask the Lord. He said, and he said he did begin to show me, he said, 10 years later. he began to reveal some things to me. He said, and I realized that what I was asking God then, that I wasn't grown up spiritually enough to handle it. He said, and then when I grew, then I realized that, or he began to show me, he said, I began to realize that I wasn't in place to receive and handle what God was giving me. God always answers. You know, I mean, I'm going to share some scriptures with you. I really don't have a title for the sermon. I just know what God's speaking to my heart. And, you know, God spoke to Abraham, preached to Abraham when he was 99, and told him he's going to have descendants. That's way past having kids. Right? And he told him. And from a young Christian, you know, real ignorant about things, but really quick off the starting gate, God had me to be word-based. I mean, he told me to go to the Word. What does the Word say about your finances? What does the Word say about your health? What does the Word say about your life, about your workplace and all of that, you know? When he does that, you go find out in the Word of God. I found out in the Word of God that I wasn't a beggar. You can start it, Beth. I found out that believers don't have to beg God. And over the years, I have found out that God is trustworthy. God is faithful. God is trustworthy. God never comes short. God never fails. God never comes short. Now, people have put that label on him. I don't know why God ain't moved for me. It's not God's fault. God is always faithful. His name is faithful and true. God is dependable. God is dependable. God is faithful. God is trustworthy. And everything that God's Word says, God watches over it to perform it. And that's one of the things that has caused me over the years to love God and love His Son Jesus and this Holy Spirit, because they don't fail. Hallelujah. And I full well, I told Travis the other day, I was telling him, you know, we got to watch patterns in our life that the enemy would try to get us into. And I was telling him about one of the patterns in my life, you know, and I was a baby Christian. I'm not now, so he can't use it on me. It's just, you know, you mature and you grow, but you exercise. You gotta do something in the testing times. It's not just you hang on and hope to make it. No, you rise up, you stand up, and you believe God, and you stand against when it's the enemy. You stand against when it's the world trying to come in and influence you towards, not towards God. But I was telling Travis, I said, you know, I said, used to when I'd get in a trial on Monday at work, I said, my first thoughts was, I'm not going to church Wednesday. You know, and I mean, that happened to me every Monday and Tuesday and so on. You know, I'm not going to church, and one day God, the Holy Spirit, because I love Him, and because you love Him, He will quicken you to the patterns that the enemy wants to get you in to take you in a downward spiral away from God. One day the Lord asked me, He said, what has that got to do with church? It was Monday. And I thought, glory to God. Well, every week he'd try that every week. Then toward the end of the week, you know, because when you're growing and you're trying to serve God and you don't understand, we don't understand everything, Johnny. I don't understand everything. I don't understand everything in the Bible. I mean, you don't have to, but what you do understand, you trust God with it, right? You just trust God. You trust the Lord. I've had people to tell me, you know, I don't know why the Lord took my husband. I don't know why the Lord, you know, even early age and all of that, you know, young and all of that. And I would tell them, stop blaming God. Stop blaming God. Don't blame God for bad things happening. You see 120 years in the Bible, then don't blame God if they leave here at 50 with some kind of sickness. like God did it, like God put them on it. See, Satan wants to use those things to get in mind in your thinking and in our spirit that God is not faithful, but God's faithful. God said the borrower is subject to the lender. You're a slave. The Bible says you're a slave to it. And so that's why God wants you out of debt. He don't want you in debt to nobody. He wants you fully dependent on Him, and His Word gives you the faith and the ability to believe Him for the impossible to come out and come out quickly. I told Travis the other day, I said, son, you're 33 years old. I said, you're already further than me when I was 33. Spiritually, I'm talking about finance, different things, you know. I told him, I said, if you don't stop, I said, you can outrun me. You know, you just keep believing God and you come out of debt. And then you believe God to be totally debt free. And then if you need a vehicle, bless God, you just believe God that He'll bring it in. That He'll bring it in, that you don't have to borrow. You got to make your mind up. I tell contractors today, you know, when I start doing business with one wanting me to do a big 54, they're building 54 houses in Coleman. He wanted me to come down way low number that I wouldn't. And then I said, not going to do it. And then he said, well, would you come down to this? And then I said, no, I'm sorry. I won't come down to that. I said, it's going to be that right there. I said, that's the way it is. I said, and if I do business with you, I said, I don't borrow anymore. I don't borrow. I'm not going to bow down to it. I don't care what it is, but it looks like, you know, I might not get it and all that. The Bible says, while you look not at the things that are seen, right? If God wants you to be out of debt, and I know He does based on His Word, then you set out to be debt-free. You change your thinking that you don't have to borrow, that you can drive nice stuff, you can have nice stuff, and God is not opposed to it, you know. You find out what God wants, and then you go with that, right? So I told that guy, I said, when I do business with you, I said, I don't put stuff on the ticket anymore. I said, when your doors come in, I pay for them. I said, so what that means, I said, you're going to have to pay me some money up front. And I just heard on Facebook, you know, and all that, people getting robbed and ripped off, you know, and they started saying, I wouldn't give nobody nothing down, nothing. Don't give them nothing before they do the job. I scrolled on by and I said, God, that's not me. The world can say that. They can have their bad experiences. God, you know that I wouldn't rip nobody off. You know that I wouldn't spend their money. I'm a good steward of their money. I said, God, you know. I said, and because of my faith in you know, because I've walked this thing out and let you help me to become this way. That's what He wants for all of us, right? To be like Him, trustworthy, right? Dependable. You can trust them. That's us. That's the body. Well, he just shot me a text last night, I think it was, sitting there, and I'm listening to me a sermon. Because how many knows many are the afflictions of the righteous? But I'm sitting there knowing, because I'm listening to the Word, that my God will deliver me out of them all. And I mean, it might not look like it to you, praise God, hallelujah, but if you trust Him and you lean on Him and you keep that Word in your heart, you don't let nothing get that Word out of there, praise God, there's faith in the Word of God, that's the ability of God, and that's the force of God in you through the Word. When you choose to believe Him through the Word, then there's enough, there's the force of God in there to help you go forth in action in until you see the results you're believing God for. I probably couldn't tell you that again. Got a text last night, and he sent me a text. He said, we're going to do it. He said, I got it worked out, and we're going to give you what you want. We're doing business with you. And I just sent you, and I said, thank you, sir. Look forward to it. And then I set the phone down, and I said, I just want to praise you, my Father. You made that happen, God. I don't walk in fear anymore of losing that 54 because I done made 54 doors, whatever it is, because I done made up my mind that you are my source a long time ago. You are my source, God's door. Your job ain't your source. If it is, you're going to have to change that, and you got to let God be your source. The doctors are not my source to keep me alive on this planet, praise God. Long, satisfied life in Psalms 91. That's my doctor right there. The word is medicine to all of our flesh. So when something attacks my body, praise God, whether it's flu or COVID or whatever it is, I've had a lot to come against me. I just tell it, you can't stay here in Jesus' name. Now I spit snot and all that stuff, and I'm still confessing because I'm not going to let what I go through change what I believe. Amen. You don't let what you're experiencing change what you believe. I don't let the world influence me in how to run my life. Hallelujah. We just read in Psalms 1 over there, blessed is the man that sits not in the counsel of the ungodly. There's Christians that have ungodly thinking. They're poor. They're sick. I'm not going to sit in that. Well, if God wants to heal me, that's ungodly. No, you don't know the Word of God. If you do, even if you've heard the Word preached to you, the Bible says in Hebrews, He said, the Word being preached to them, not mixed with faith, profits them nothing. Right? So if I believe I'm already healed, then bless God, I just hobble on to church. I'm expecting my foot to be totally not giving me no problems, or my heart, or my body, or whatever, praise God. Why? Because God is faithful. I remember a time whenever I had to do some things, and Teresa, we got to get that free. It would get on my nerves, Mac, when she'd say it, because I'm like, I'm working all I can. The world's got this saying, work all you can and count all you get. The kingdom is believe me for increase, pray God, and give. It's totally separate than the world. Hallelujah. I asked the Lord that Doris's breakthrough. She needed to go to the gym and just get them muscles pumped off. I paid for it, you know, because I'm in the garage door, and I paid for it, and it cost about over $900, nearly $1,000, you know, and I'm down there putting it in. I told her the other day, I said, God's going to pay me back. I was talking about the church. God's going to pay me back that money. And I looked at her and I said, but I'm going to furnish the labor. And she said, well, you ought to. You ought to furnish the labor. You know, well, I'm down there and I'm throwing that in her. Me and Travis did it. And Travis come help me and he said it and all that, you know. And I was putting that garbage in there in the dumpster. And I said, Lord, I said, do you want me just to give you that? I said, I will. I'll give it to you. It's yours. Right? He gave me strength to go work. Right? He gave me a good job. He gave me garage doors to put in. I believe Him for it. You believe Him for increase at your job and all of that stuff, praise God. Hallelujah. But you know what? I mean, you believe God, you're never strapped unless you strap yourself. Because the Word of God is just so vast. I didn't know cows was in Deuteronomy 28. I'd read it probably a million times, Johnny, but it meant nothing to me. And time goes on, and God gives me and Travis that land over there. And then you know, I thought, man, I'm going to put some cows on here. And I thought one day, I'm going to read Deuteronomy 28. I've read it a million times, probably, maybe not that many, but a lot. Over 30 years. And I read it, praise God, and I seen the word cows, and I thought, whoa, there's my cows. They're in the Bible. He said, blessed be the fruit of my cattle and my sheep and your body. That means your kid. We done heard they moved the tube and it's done grew back. Is that right? Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Sarah, she was 90. And she laughed. Genesis 18, God went to Abraham and told him she's going to conceive. She's going to have a kid. Well, the Bible says that children are a blessing from the Lord, a heritage, that they're a blessing from the Lord. Well, she was barren. She could not have kids all of her life. Ain't no telling how many years she had been wanting a kid. I mean, now she is 90. And God shows up. The Bible says that she laughed within herself. I thought, I thought her mind wouldn't catch up with God right quick. I'm 90. She laughed within herself. I bet she had those thoughts. Man, there's no way that I can. And Abraham, you just barely can't get out of bed, sir. But you know what? Praise God. The Bible says that in, I believe it's Hebrews 11:11, I believe it is. It said, put that up there, through faith, there it is. Because of her faith, Sarah also herself received strength to conceive. See, you don't need the body, right? God had went and told her. Now her faith is there because God told her. See, the Bible says that you are the head, not the tail. You lend and your faith should be there because he said it. Right? She said, it says, because of Sarah's faith, how did she get faith? Bible says, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. If you ever hear the word of God and God speaks something to you, see, don't just try to pull stuff out of the Bible. You know, don't try to stand on everybody else's word. You know, you spend time with the Lord and you ask the Lord. I'm laying in the bed and I'm asking God one night as a young Christian. I didn't think I could be wealthy. I came from a family of 17 brothers and sisters, you know, and Dad had 3 acres at one time, you know, and all of that stuff. And he wanted to give a part to everybody. You know, but anyways, I'm laying there after I got born again, and I started out, and I've made, you know, pretty good money just at that time, you know, $220 a week. So I'm laying there, and I'm asking God, because Christians and preachers had told me, you know, you're not supposed to be rich as a Christian. You're supposed to lay up treasures in heaven. Where moth don't, and they quote the scripture to you and all of that. And so I'm reading in the Bible and it says that Jesus took on himself poverty that I might be made rich. You know, and it says in Deuteronomy 28, so I'm kind of confused, Mac, because people of their lack of understanding, carnal thinking, not mischievous, I don't believe they meant no ill will, but I'm laying there one night and I'm asking the Lord, Lord, I want to know if prosperity, financial prosperity is for me. Lord, I want you to show me, Lord. I want to know. If it's not God, I'm going to preach anyway. I didn't have hardly anything when you saved me and I didn't commit suicide, Lord, and I'll do it. But I need to know, God. Your Bible says different than folk. And the Lord spoke to me that night, not just that night, but on the inside, it's like I had a knowing that what I'm asking him, it is for me. And over the course of time, as I went on, I'm not settled. I want to know. And so it wasn't too long, praise God, that Teresa gets us the series. He'll hook you up with preachers. He'll put you in a church. My church didn't teach me really about prosperity that much, financial. God will bless you. God will bless you. It wasn't that they were neglecting anything, you know, but God hooked me up. Mainly the Bible and the Holy Spirit. Because when somebody was preaching, I would go get my Bible and I would try to follow along with them to see if it was in the Bible and what they were saying lined up with the Bible. And little by little, but today I'm convinced through the Word of God and the faith of God that he gives you through the word of God. And so I went against all odds and I believed God to increase me. I believed God and I took steps. Praise. I'm talking about the healing. I'm talking about, you know, your relationship. I've stood on the word. That's why I'm married 40 years. I believe it. I stood on the word of God. That's why you're one of your besties over there is in church. I stood on the word when he was going wayward. I stood on the word when I pulled him out of ministry because his heart wasn't really after the Lord. I pulled him out of ministry then and told him to sit down out there, and I didn't do it because, I mean, he's my only son. But I knew that I had to honor God. I knew that I had to honor God above my wife, God above my son, God above my mother, God above my family, my friends. God's got to be above that. And the Word of God has got to be all the evidence that me and you need to know that we are healed, we are prosperous, and weapons comes against us, but we come out and we come up. I don't hardly ever get sick. Praise God. My artery stopped up, wasn't the devil. Right? Hallelujah. That word works. Healing works. I've been on my knee. Travis and them seen me, Teresa, you know, in the garden down there, and I thought my problem was my lungs, and it was my heart all the time. They said I'd had heart attacks, but I would be working in my garden and all of that, and I would hurt in my shoulder, and I would get down, and I would say, thank you, Father, right now, that by Jesus' stripes, there's where you got to do it. You can't do it just under the anointing in the church. And then I would be like, well, I got to do, if I believe I'm healed, then I got to get up and I got to drive these posts because faith has action. Faith has to get up. Hallelujah. So I would get up and I would say, I go in the, that's before I had open heart surgery. I go in the name of the Lord God Almighty in Jesus' name. I draw my strength from you, God. You are my source. You're my strength. Right? Well, I got that out of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Even when I had surgery, I wouldn't get down and load a bar. Oh, God, I felt sorry for myself one time when I felt like that I was doing Teresa a disservice because I couldn't tote my plate. She had to wait on me with everything. You know, put my socks on. All of that stuff. And so she starts one down the hall one day, and I told her, I said, just wait on me. I said, if you'll just wait on me a little bit, I'll be back. She went on in there, and I thought, what's wrong with you, Jack? You ain't got time to feel sorry for yourself. Right? What was that fear? Fear that she's gone. Why, she would have been crazy to leave me in the battle. Because I won. I come out of that battle, black God, hallelujah, and I brought us completely out of debt, me and Jesus and her, we're completely out of debt, glory to God. Do we have things come against our body? You better believe it. My throat's scratchy a little bit tonight. Been rival coughing Travis. Snorting Aiden. And they've been attacked with that stuff, praise God. He tries to tell me for 30 years, you can't go to church and preach tonight, but I'm well in the morning to go to work. Something wrong with that. You hear me? Something wrong with that picture. You attacked on Wednesday and Saturday night, but you're able to get up and go to work on Monday morning and Thursday. Dragging that body after what? That money. Don't let Satan fool you. But you know what? I was thinking about it today, earlier today, and I was thinking about how that, well, I wanted God, Mac. I wanted to go to church. I wanted to go on the streets and preach, and I wanted to go to the jails, or I wanted to go to the hospitals and the nursing homes. And I'm telling you, I would get sick, and I wouldn't feel good, and trials would come against me. This one night, I was so sick, I had pneumonia. I felt like I had pneumonia. Don't know if I did or not. But the way the pneumonia, you know, your body just feels so sore that you can't put a shirt on it without it feeling like it's hurting your body. That's what it was. I had fever and all that stuff, you know. And I felt like I can't go on the streets. This was on a Friday night. You know, and I thought, bless God, my body ain't going to tell me what to do. Pray God, I'm going. And I told my body, I said, you going with me. See, I done realized then, this has been a lot of years ago, 25 years ago. And I was learning then that my body is not me. That me lives on the inside. You're born from above. You're born from the Spirit of God. The old man passed away, and behold, all things are of God. We are spirit beings. And so I went in the name of Jesus that night. I went and set all of them out, and I was so sick, and I felt like I couldn't make it, and I wasn't going to make it. And I was like, I'll try to hurry the sermon up where I can go back home and get in the bed and, you know, and just rest and just lay down and all of that, you know. But I went. And that night when I got up under that microphone at 7 o'clock, the power of God came on me, and I was totally healed of that. And I learned right then a pattern. When I'm sick, I go. Because the Bible says in Acts, he said, and some were healed as they went. And to me, after that, every sickness and disease that come against my body, I would not yield to it. If I did, then all I was doing was surrendering to it. I was surrendering to how I feel, surrendering to the symptoms and all of that. And after that, I got to do you good to get you some songs of Keith Moore that God inspired him like he did the psalmist David. A lot of songs in there. But one of them said, like a dog with a bone, you must leave me alone. My body may change, but my confession stays the same. I had an old dog one time. It was a pit bull. And that dog could not stand weed eating. That weed eater. When you'd fire it up, I mean, it's like you'd fire that dog up. And I'd go out to weed eating. I hated weed eating anyhow. I didn't like it, you know. But every time I would go back there to weed eat, that Reno, his name was Reno, he'd come in there, boy, and I mean, he's trying to attack my weed eater. He'd jump up. He's trying to. And so one day I'm out there, and it's hot, you know, and I said, Reno, stop. Stop, Reno. Stop. Get out of here. Get out of here. He'd go right back. I'd put it down there. And I finally got fed up, and I went, okay. He just comes over. I mean, it tore him all up. He got a hold of that weeder and killed it. He killed that weed eater. And I picked that dog up with that weed eater, and he would not turn loose of that weed eater. He locked on to that weed eater. And the Spirit of God spoke to me. He said, that is the way you've got to do toward the things that are mine and the kingdom. He said, you get a hold of it. He said, and you don't turn it loose. The scripture in there backs it up in the parable, in the different grounds in there, right? You know, I heard the gospel and rejected Jesus, but one day I accepted him. Praise God. And I feel like I've went through a lot of them ground. And once you go through ground and you gain ground, you got to maintain that. You got to take a stand, because the enemy comes back at opportune times in your life. Hallelujah. You know, and to get you to yield like you used to. Right. To get you to think like you used to. Right? But it says here, through faith, and the Lord told me this tonight, this evening. Through faith, because of Sarah's, all through Hebrews 11, when it says by faith Abraham, by faith Moses, by faith, I looked that up and it says because of their faith. God spoke to Noah and he said, build an ark. He believed it. You know how come I know he believed it? He went 120 years in the middle of them naysayers. 120 years he went in the middle of them naysayers, thought he was crazy, it's going to come a flood, they had never seen rain. They had never seen rain. And Noah, because God told him. See, you need to get this. You got to be before the Lord, asking the Lord, reading the Word of God, asking God, quicken me to what I need quickened to. God, show me what is you. Show me how I'm supposed to think and walk and live and say. I never go around saying, I just can't get them jobs because I'm too high. I told that guy that where I got those houses, I told him back down when I done one door for him, I told him, I said, I didn't even know he was the owner until there. I was just, you know, there at the last minute. But I told him, I said, well, you know, I'm not the cheapest guy in town. I said, but buddy, I'll take care of you. I mean, no, God's not a cheapskate. He'll take care of us. $1,000 for Doris to get it to where she ain't got to be lazy. No. How many knows God wouldn't care if it cost $5,000? Right? He wouldn't care if it was $5,000 to get that done. We had the money to pay for that unit, I just like believing God. Right? And then his favor shows, I believe you're going to have a kid. I believe it. I believe God is going to, you're going to receive yourself strength to conceive. She had a baby. Just like God said she would. But you know what? Abraham, it talks about Abraham in Romans 4 over there. And it says the gospel was preached to Abraham, and that's what it meant. He's telling Abraham at 99 years old, he told him, he said, out of you, out of your seed, out of your descendant. And they did an Ishmael thing, trying to help him out and all that. And we won't get into all that. Because God said, no, that's not it. He said, come on, do it through. You're going to do it through Ishmael. And God said, no, I'm going to do it through yours. See, whenever we started this church, I had $300 that I was evangelizing, and I saved it. I didn't spend it, you know, on myself. I would save it. And I'd find out what God wants to do with it. What He give me, you know, evangelizing. And so I'm down and up, and I'd been in Faith Restoration up there, and we had a building program going on. And I had a vision of, you know, building a building back there and buying the 10 acres behind the building. They wanted $10,000 for an acre for the 10 acres, and that was $100,000. And I thought, dear God, that was in the early 90s. I thought, $100,000 for 10 acres, man. Woo! Man, you could buy a farm with that, you know. But it wasn't about that. Well, you know what? We made a deal with them, and we bought that, paid them $10,000 a year, once a year. Paid it off, no interest and all of that, you know. And I seen God do it, and I thought, whoo! Started the building fund, got everybody in on the building fund. But anyhow, I'm making a point to what I'm saying. And I would be in my shower, and I would be like, I'm going to take up tithes and offer. And I'd be like, Nah, man. But see, Johnny, I didn't know what God was doing. See, you don't have to know what God's doing. Just serve Him. Just follow Him. And I'd get up there, you know, during the week, I'd see something. I'd be about tithe. It'd be like I'd see a motorcycle, and everything worked, but the chain was gone, and the master link was out of the chain. All it needed was the master link, and God spoke to me through that vision I had in my spirit. I didn't see it or anything. It was just in my spirit. He said, that link is tithing. He said, there's nothing wrong with the motorcycle. The blinkers work, the gears work, all of it. I mean, I could see everything working, and the tithing was causing the bike not to function. Well, I went up there and told them that, and the tithes would double. Now, I mean, I said, but the secretary came to me and said, every time you take up tithes and offerings, it doubles. And I thought, man, really? I thought, what in the world's going on here? Well, I realized it was the anointing. It was God. He was wanting to increase that church, not just to get the building built, but He wanted to increase them and bring the money in to finance the kingdom through that, and He did it. So anyhow, I'm down telling the Lord. I said, Lord, I thought my church loved me. I told the Lord, I said, they could give me $10,000 and I could buy a sound system and all of that stuff, you know, and blah, blah, blah. When I got through complaining and whining to God about they could do all that, and the Lord said, He said, I didn't tell them to give you. See, God ain't telling everybody to bail you out. God don't want everybody bailing you out. God wants to be your source. He wants to be your deliverer. He wants to be your supply. Hallelujah. And so, you know what? I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord, but it would be a lot better if we had the stuff. And He said, I thought you believed me. Well, that's a good thing He was saying to me. Well, I quit depending on out things, all of that stuff, praise God. And I begin to believe, God, you told me to do this. That's what you found out. God, you said for me to have this house. God, you want me to have a job. You put me in this job, God. God, I thank you, Lord. My body might tell me I can't do that job anymore. But, Lord, you will send what I need. I told Travis today, I said, you know what? I said, God is going to increase us. I said, and if we need something to get the job done, I said, then God will bring it. I told him, I said, he's brought me debt free. I've got nice trucks, nice equipment, nice tools, and I never do without tools. And if I need something, I just get it. Where I back yonder, down yonder, I would have to believe him for it. Well, I've already believed him and I've got it. He said in John 10:10, he said that Jesus come that you might have life and have it more abundant. The word more abundant means to the full, to the overflow, nothing broken, nothing missing. That means you come to the place to where you're walking where Doris used to worry about her light bill. She don't even think about her light bill no more. Right? That's God. And then I guarantee you, as you heard out of her mouth, the Lord. Well, that when he does that, that person, like she's saying, when she says the Lord takes care of me, what her heart and my heart and your heart is doing is giving glory to God, because we know where we were and we know what we didn't have and we know what we have because of him. But you know what? Without the Word of God, you don't know what's yours. And if you listen to a lot of Christians, I had somebody come to me one time and they wanted an acre of land that God gave me. Because I got 16 acres over there and 40 over there and the church and all kinds of stuff, you know. And I said, well, you know, Lord's blessed you, you know, you need to share. I said, God ain't told me to share. God's telling you to get a job and buy your own. And so that person got mad. And that person told me, well, you know what? God's going to strip you of that. You know what I've seen God do? Bring me a herd of cows. I've seen him bring me the help to fence it in. I've seen him bring me bulldozers and track holds. And I didn't see him strip me of nothing. I saw him increase me so I could increase it and make it worth something. You could go fish and enjoy yourself. I had a barn to blow down, and God told me he'd come up there, and he said, and I'm not just telling you stories. Let me tell you something. In your tragic times is when is the best time for you to release your faith and believe that God will do supernatural in your life. And don't wait on the supernatural to praise him. You just praise him before it happens. That glorifies the Lord. Well, I paid the last $1,000. I built a barn to put my hay in. And I paid the last $1,000, my brother and his boy, to put the last bit of the hay. Johnny helped some. You're going to reap too. Well, Travis helped. But anyways, I went up there and it's on the ground. A storm come across and blew it down. I mean my whole barn. It's just poof. I pulled up there and saw it and I just left. And I'm thinking, what's the use? What is the use? Then I went and heard another one blow down somewhere. Then I heard somebody say, if I was them, I wouldn't build one back in that drought. You know, so I had these thoughts. You know, and I went off and I gathered myself, glory to God. And then that was about the time of Joe Biden in office. And Build Back Better. Remember that Build Back Better? Didn't happen. That did not happen. But anyways, I'm not on him. Because no matter what the government does, I can build back better. I took that word, prayed God, and I'm up there, you know, and somebody pulled up, my brother pulled up and had a guy, and he said, oh, I just feel sorry for you. He helped me build the first one, somewhat, helped on it. I paid him. I said, don't feel sorry for me. I said, I've got two choices right now. I said, I can quit or I can build back better. I said, I believe God for that one on the ground and he helped me build it. I said, and he didn't do it. I said, I didn't keep my faith up here. I said, I'm going to take the other one. I said, if he done it one time for me, I said, I know he'll do it again. That is me saying God is faithful. Don't look at your bad circumstances and believe you're strapped and there's no way and all of that. I didn't have the money to build back. But I began to believe God. I said, God, I'm going to build it better this time. Instead of a lean-to, I want A-frame truss, God. I want A-frame truss. And then my brother had this bright idea to get him a wood mill. And it took him 6 months to get him a wood mill. By the time he got his wood mill, I'd believed God and he had done give him my trust. And he'd already given him my, but I needed 2x6s. So he says, hey, I got a good idea, man. He said, why don't we set it up there on your place? And I'm not thinking. Why don't we set it over at your barn, you know, man? And I mean, I'll use it over there. Blah, blah. I swear, well, that's fine. He said, I'm not going to leave it there long, though, because I'm going to do this and this and this and this. Well, you know what? This guy gave us the timber. We went and got it. He cut him a few 2x4s. I built my whole barn for gas money. Just gas money. 2x6s was $13 a piece at that time. Praise God. And I needed a bunch of them because I had it was 30 something foot wide and it was 40 foot long, that barn, something like that. Well, I built a 72, I built a 32 by 72. I thought, but God, I'm going to build it big. And when I brought the truss, the guy told me there was enough truss to make it 50 foot. There was enough truss to make it 100 foot. And so I thought, man, I don't want to go that far. Praise God, hallelujah. So I made it 72 foot long. Praise, I could live in there, man. What I'm saying is, then I looked at it, then the guy come back up there when I was working and putting the tin on the sides. I said, now remember. I said, you always remember, don't feel sorry for yourself because things don't work out and it looks like the devil's killing, stealing. I said, the devil had nothing to do with that. I said, but he tries to use the bad situations I was in to get me to quit and not believe God. I said, and if I'd have quit, you would not see this. See, if you quit believing, you will not see the results that you really desire. Because he needs your faith like he needed hers. The Bible says that through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Somebody say past. It was done too late. How many knows it's never too late with God? You know, and because she judged, a minister pointed that out, and I thought, man, she judged. I'd read that and read that and read that. And she judged him faithful who had promised. You know what she thought? She judged him. She said, if God said it, he'll do it. If God said it, he'll do it. And then that minister went on and he said, people are judging him every day all across the world. People are judging God. Why did that happen to me? Why did God let that happen to me? That's judging God. He's unfaithful. But why did God take my baby child? How many knows that's judging God? Right? That's judging him. They're misjudging God. Hallelujah. You know, or why don't God bless me like he does Johnny? That's judging God as being a respecter. The Bible clearly says he's not. You know. And see, we got to watch out about that stuff because we don't understand stuff that happens. We don't. God told me one time, because I thought, man, she was a good Christian and she died with that at 50. And people said, well, God needed another little angel. I thought, man, they're blaming God that she died with cancer. They're blaming God. Well, why didn't God heal her? Well, he already did. And they say, well, they'll be healed over there. They'll have that perfect body. That's not what the Bible means. No, it's not what the Bible means. You ain't going to need 1 Peter 2:24 in heaven. They ain't going to be no sickness. You're going to be in that glorified body, right? So this word is for when? Now. This word is for now. This word is not for when we go to heaven. In the funerals, they preach that Psalms 23 sometimes, and I guess it's good for that. You know, at funerals, Psalms 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death and all that, you know. We are in the valley of the shadow of death right now. Travis has got this saying, turn the light on. It's just a shadow. If the light's there, you got shadow, you know. But you know, we're walking through this world in a fallen world, where sickness and disease came into here through disobedience, through Adam. But Jesus, according to Galatians 3:13, I believe it is, Christ has redeemed us from that curse that came in this earth through Christ Jesus. Now we got to take it. People had a lady come to church. I don't know if that's why she's not back, last Sunday or whatever it was. And I preached, you know, God is not in control of everything. And me and you understand that, don't we? When I say that, you know. If you don't, I'm going to explain it really easy. She said, what did you mean that God's not in control of everything? And I thought, I'm going to answer this with wisdom somehow, you know. And I said, well, ma'am, I said, let me explain it the best way I can. I said, if God was in control, kids wouldn't get raped. If God was in control, you know, the hospitals wouldn't have a bunch of sick folk in them. If God was in control of everything, everybody would get saved, but they're not. I said, that's what I mean. I said, God is sovereign. God is God. God, there's nothing to... That's what God told Abraham when Sarah laughed within herself. He said, he asked Abraham, he says, is there anything too hard for God? Your situation's not too hard for God. God's already supplied for it. But just like with us, God needed her to believe. God needed Abraham to believe in Romans 4, and I got a lot of my stagger knot out of there. I stopped staggering with that unbelief junk. Just believe him. Somebody told me one time, a preacher said, what if you pray for them, they don't get sick? I said, God's going to look bad because I know I'm not the healer. And he don't make himself look bad. I said, he tells me to lay hands on the sick. I said, he said they will recover. I said, that's not up to me. I said, but I'm going to believe what God said in that Bible. If he says lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, I'm going to lay hands on the sick. That's his part to recover them. But he says he will, and I'm just going to believe if I do, he does. That's simple, ain't it? Can't make me look bad. I've told God before, if I do it and you look bad, it's going to be your fault because I believe. That's what Moses told them, man. They're going to think you're a killer. You know, you brought them out here, now you're going to kill them? That's going to make you look bad. And God changed his mind. God repented. The Bible says the only place that I ever found that God changed his mind. He did it, though. Praise God. Hallelujah. So whatever we're... Fine. I had this wrote down in there. I do it myself, but I write it to remind me. You know, whatever in your life that you're going through, you're facing, you know, find your scripture. Find scripture in the Bible and just meditate on that scripture and see if God will quicken you to that scripture. You know, let God quicken you to the scripture, you know. And meditation, that's what he told Joshua. And that's what I've been doing. And I believe that my success is not because I'm a successful man. I'm a diligent man. And that when I'm not, I repent. I say, God, I'm sorry I wasn't that diligent. God, I should have went and I didn't. I mean, every now and then I'll do it, not on purpose, you know, but I repent. And how many of you know, Travis talking about that day, he said David was messed up in a lot of areas, wasn't he? I said, yeah. He said, but he had a heart after God. I said, he is quick to repent. He was quick to say, God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry, Lord. And the Bible called him a man after God's own heart. He had a man killed. Got his wife pregnant. He was supposed to have been out to battle with his soldiers. But he stayed at home. And then he sent for Bathsheba, you know, and got her pregnant and then found out she was pregnant, sent him out on the front lines so he'd get killed. He did it on purpose. David. Hallelujah. Prophet went and told him. Prophet even went and told him. Teresa told us the story. And he said, where's he at? I'm going to have him killed. And the prophet looked at him and said, you're the one. You did it. You took that innocent man's wife. And had her killed. Hallelujah. But still, he was a man after God's own heart. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I just want to encourage you, God needs you to believe the impossible. It's just like this church right now. I thought about people message me, you know, and I've told you before, used to when somebody had messaged me, not going to be there, we're this, we're that, I would get discouraged. I'd want to quit. It would just discourage me, really discourage me. One time I was in the bathroom in there, and I was weeping, Mac. because people wouldn't come to church. And I felt like, man, I'm laying my life down, and I mean, I'm studying. I don't go out on Saturday night, and I mean, I try to seek the Lord and all of that. And the Lord spoke to me when I got done. He said, how long are you going to let people move you? How long are you going to let them discourage you? They don't even mean to. People that don't believe God, they ain't got no faith to come to church. If you ain't believing Him, you ain't going to have faith. What are you going to need faith if you're not going to move? But once you make your mind up and you're going forward, here comes grace and here comes favor and here comes ability and here comes supply, here comes joy. Well, you know what? I made up my mind. I lived over where my sister lives then. That's been a long time ago, 20 years. You know, and I was home and I'm pondering that, Johnny. And I'm like, bless God, I'm going to be aware of that pattern. I'm going to be, because as long as they're moving me, he'll tell them, you don't feel good. You're afflicted. You know, he did it. That was the last time that he did that way that discouraged me. Because I thought, no matter what, I'm going to do the will of God. Do you know that's what faithfulness is? Faithfulness is not just coming to church. Faithfulness is you know the will of God and you're going to do it regardless. That you're obedient. That's what faithfulness is. It's whatever me and you know to be the will of God, then we set forth to do it regardless of the odds. I'm set out to be totally debt-free and healed and prosperous and paying houses off and giving cars away and, praise God, giving people money. I started to say it tonight, but it ain't the Lord because I'm a giver. Anybody in here broke? I was going to make sure you left a little money. But it wasn't the Lord. He said, don't get excited. Hallelujah. Praise God. But you know what? Praise the Lord. God's able to do abundantly above, greater than I can, but He says, according to the power that works in us. Hallelujah. So find the will of God. Faith begins where you find God's will. The faith to do the will, the faith to do what He's telling you, comes to you whenever you find His will out. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father,